The Senate's Public Safety Budget Division will come to order. Today is Wednesday, March 14th, for anybody who's lost track. Our plan for today is to go through the omnibus bill and vote at the end of the day. We have the room reserved for the evening if it's necessary to continue on into the evening. I'll first go through the bill with Mr. Turner, and then we will have time for questions by members. Then we'll take amendments from members. And we have asked members that if they offer amendments for increased or new funding, they have to tell us where they're going to take the money from, because we can't add to our bill. We can take testimony from the audience on amendments and overall comments on the bill. If you wish to testify, please send a note over to Alice Seufert, the committee administrator, with your name, your title, your organization, and what part of the bill you'd like to talk about. And when you came in the door, you probably saw that the bill and the spreadsheets were there. There's also a handy-dandy chart that tells you what bills are included in the omnibus bill, who the author was, what they were about, and what section of the omnibus bill they're in. You might find that handy. And just as a reminder for everybody, when discussing the bill, would you please reference both the page and the line number so that we all can know exactly what you're talking about. Our bills today are in two pieces. We have the main bill, which is the ongoing funding. We will then have a separate bill, which is the one-time funds that we're proposing. Now I'm going to pass the gavel over to Senator Neville. And wander down to the table. Do you want to come up here, Tom?
All right.
Mr. Chair, I thought we would start with the spreadsheet. That probably makes the most sense.
Senator Higgins, does this bill have a Senate file number yet? Or?
Mr. Chair, it does not. After we vote on the bill, it will be introduced as a committee bill and go forward that way.
All right.
Don't really know any more details on how that works, but we'll find out as I go, I guess. Direct your attention to the spreadsheet. Starting on page one, the first section is Public Safety Department. We funded the forecast base for Homeland Security and Emergency Management. There were several items in the governor's proposal that we did, or a couple here that we did not fund. Oh, I should start by saying this bill proposes that the salary supplement for all departments, all employees in all departments, is 3.25% for the first year and 3.25% for the second year. And you'll see that all the way through the spreadsheet. In our divisions, some of our departments suggested 2% and 2%, and corrections suggested 4.25% and 4.25%. So what we are proposing here is that everybody gets the same amount, same percentage, and that's 3.25% and 3.25%. Going next to the BCA, you'll see their forecast base, and we continued that the same as the governor. When I talked to the superintendent of the BCA, I asked him what his two priorities were for the for our bill. He said they were CRIMNET and 20 new forensic scientists. The CRIMNET funding is one-time funding, so we'll be seeing that in the one-time bill. And we funded the 20 forensic scientists at the governor's rate. The next item is the fire marshal. And we funded the governor's suggested amount there. Gambling and alcohol enforcement, the same. We took the governor's recommendation. At the top of the next page are the Office of Justice programs. You'll remember that these all took a big hit when the federal government didn't get its funding for these items passed. We were able to put some money towards some of these, but in no circumstance did we make up for the money that was lost. And I wish we could have done better for that, but at some point we ran out of money. We were not able to fund the crime victim reparations increase. We funded the gang and drug task force at the governor's level. We did not fund the school safety centers. The victim notification system, the VINE system, we funded at about half of the governor's level, $450,000 for the biennium. This is the system that notifies the victims when there's a change in status of the offender. The next two are bills of mine. Line 52, the squad car technology upgrades. You'll remember we had a presentation about the cameras in the squad cars and how they are now obsolete, and it's even just very hard to even get the tapes for them. This money at $1 million would start changing over those cameras. When we go through the bill, I put in there that half of the first amounts of money will go to Minneapolis. They said that would change over their cars, and then the other $500,000 is available for other grant applications. We were able to put some money into the law enforcement overtime grants. I think we heard loud and clear from our local units of government that they need some help, and this is one way that we can do it, having some funds available to help them with overtime. There is already existing statute that lays out the framework for a group of folks to decide who the applicants will be who get the grants. They include the Commissioner of Public Safety, the head of the Sheriff's Association, and folks like that. Line 54, the youth intervention programs. If you remember the YIPA folks who came, this money is used for a lot of organizations throughout the state who do good work trying to keep our youth from getting into trouble. We had very compelling testimony from families of victims of murder or suicide. The next item is a grant to aid the organization that works with those folks. The next two items are crime victims grants for sexual assault and domestic violence at $387,000 and $388,000 for the biennium. The next box is the ARMOR 911 emergency services. If you remember, this is paid for by a surcharge on our telephone bills. The governor proposed to increase this by 10 cents a year for the next 3 years, and we took the governor's recommendation on that. And thank you to Senator Latz for taking that through other committees and getting it back into our division so we could include it in this bill. So that gives you the total public safety bill. You can see that we are underneath the governor's recommendation by, let's see, 302 to 289, by close to $20 million. Most of that, however, is the money for CRIMNET, which we will see again in the one-time bill. Thanks. The next item is the post board. We were able to give them a small increase. I would have liked it to have been more, but we were able to do this increase. In this, we also recommend that they either develop or purchase a curriculum to deal with training for officers who are finding that people are violating orders for protection. And I think you'll remember the testimony from Senator Bonoff and her witnesses about the need to do this training. So that's included in there. The Private Detective Board, we came in at the governor's recommendation. The Human Rights Department, we came in the governor's recommendation. They had one item that they wanted in. It was to computerize their case management system, and we took that recommendation from the governor. The next items are corrections. You'll see on lines 100 and 101 the forecast base for the institutions. Then you'll see the items that the governor recommended to us. In the last biennium, there were some items put in that we didn't pay for the tails. That's lines line 104. That's almost $4 million for the biennium. Lines 105 and 106 were increases to health services and fuel and utilities costs. We took the governor's recommendation on those. I'm not sure that there's anything else we could have done there. Also, the retiree insurance fund for the corrections employees is short, and so we took the governor's recommendation of $1 million added to that fund. The next item is the reentry services that are done in the institutions. We took the governor's recommendation of $800,000 for the biennium there. And we have Senator Neville to thank for line 109, increasing the theft thresholds. And that was Senate File 780. That actually brought us funds into our division. So thank you, Senator Neville, for doing that. Moving on to the community services, we you see on lines 116 and 117 the forecast base. And then we will add to that the items marked as decision items below. The intensive supervised release agents for the boot camp, we took the governor's recommendation. The intensive supervised release agents for conditional release program, we took half of the governor's recommendation. We did not take his recommendation for changes to the interstate compact.
121.
Line 122. The department asked us for legal help for working out issues related to civil commitment, and we put $400,000 for the biennium in that. The next two items are the Community Corrections Act counties increase and the county probation officer increase. We took the governor's recommendation for both those items, as well as the DOC probation increase on the next line. The next several items are sex offender-ish items that the governor proposed. We were able to take some of those items and not all of them, and you can look through those to see. What may be a little confusing is, and maybe I should have Mr. Turner talk about how he put this together, because some items are combined on the spreadsheet. Mr. Turner?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Turner?
Members, the governor had three sex offender initiatives, the sex offender management for adults, sex offender management for juveniles, sex offender treatment at the community level. I'm sorry, there's a fourth as well, sex offender evaluation, supervision treatment, and polygraphs. What the chairman's rec does is it rolls up three of the four into one line, and that's on line 129, and appropriates $1 million a year. And in the rider in the bill, you'll see that this is for adult and juvenile sex offender management and sex offender treatment at the community level. So what we do is we combine the governor's four lines. We fund three of them at a lesser amount, and we've got our own line here. Otherwise, it would have been confusing, because all three of those are eligible for funding under that under the rider.
Just to clarify, so that was line 130. That's not funded particularly. Is that also included in the general language?
No.
For 126,
Mr. Chairman, members,
129?
No.
Okay. So the governor's rec is about $9 million, and we're funding two. Is that correct?
Correct.
Mr. Chair, our target was $25 million less than the governor's, so we had to make some tough choices as we put this spreadsheet together. On line 131, we have taken the governor's recommendation on reimbursements to the county for sex offender assessment. Line 132 is sentenced to serve. We are losing federal funding for that, and we were able to get back about half of the amount that we had had previously. Line 133 is the housing of short-term offenders in the county jails. We were able to get it to about $33 a day, and just to remind you, we're paying less than $10 a day. So I think the county's made a compelling case for getting them a more accurate amount. This is still under what they say it cost them, but it's way more than they used to have. So the next three items are reentry items. Line 134 is M-Corp, and that is funded at $1,900,000 for the biennium. Line 135 are reentry grants to community organizations and others who work out in the neighborhoods, trying to make sure that the offenders who are coming out of prison have the services and the support that they need so they aren't going to end up back in prison. Line 136 is kind of a different reentry program that we heard about that would be supplying jobs for the folks coming out. So there's a little bit to help that program. Line 137 is the mentoring youth of incarcerated parents. This is, we heard from the Big Brothers, Big Sisters who are going to be working on this. And just to remind you, 67, I think it was, percent of the young men who are now living at Red Wing have had a parent who's incarcerated. So I think these are some folks who can use some help, and so we were able to put $1 million toward that. Going on to page 4. The first box there is the forecast base for the central office, which we took the governor's recommendation for, of course. And that gets us to the total of the corrections budget. The next item is the Sentencing Guidelines Commission. And we did the governor's recommendation and then also included a study that Senator Moi would like for sealing records and collateral consequences. And that gets us to, and then at that point we have spent all the money. So, Mr. Chair, I'll stand for questions. I hope you like what we have been able to do with target that we were given.
Thank you, Senator Higgins. Are there any preliminary questions from the committee? How do you like Senator Moore?
Mr. Chair, maybe that's where you were going.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the next step is then we're going to go through the bill and ask questions.
Well, I was going to ask, would you like to now go through the language, and then to what extent do you still are you interested in taking public comment?
I'll do the language.
Why don't we do the language on this
okay.
part? And Mr. Turner is going to walk through that for us, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, Article 1 reflects the spreadsheet, so I don't think I'll go through every rider of things that have a line in the spreadsheet because we've already talked about it. But I will go through the few riders that are not reflected in the spreadsheet, the special revenue riders, and then I'll discuss Article 2. And I guess the first riders that are the special revenue that are not in the and they're reflected in the totals of the spreadsheet, but they don't have line items of their own, are on page 3, starting on line 310, in cooperative investigation of cross-jurisdictional criminal activity, and down to 318, laboratory activities. And that goes down to line 322. This is miscellaneous special revenue that comes from the $250 DWI license reinstatement fee In statute, it's we have written that 8% of the $250 goes to the BCA, 80% of the 8% goes to the lab, which is the $352,000 and $368,000, and 20% of the 8% of the $250 goes to the cross-jurisdictional criminal activities. The next rider, page 3, line 23 to 29, that's DWI lab analysis from the Trunk Highway Fund. That reflects the analysis that's done for State Patrol arrests. The next rider would be on page 4, 4.4 and 4.5. It says, of this amount to the fire marshal, $4.5 million the second year is for activities under Minnesota Statutes 299F.012. That's the fire safety account. That statutorily, we set up a fire advisory council that consists of the chiefs, the firefighter chiefs, the firefighter unions, the insurance companies, and they get together and determine how that, or they make recommendations to the Commissioner of Public Safety on how that $4.5 million will be spent. The governor's supplemental budget, when that came in, it turned out there was much more revenue than was originally projected, and so the governor's supplemental budget recommended that this be bumped up by an additional $5 million. And it turns out the revenue is coming in faster and earlier. So in the department, or in the Committee on Finance, Senator Higgins will have an amendment that will reflect the governor's supplemental recommendation.
Okay.
The next special revenue rider starts on page 6, line 7, and it runs through page 10. This is the 800 megahertz public safety communication system, or as we now call it, ARMOR. These two subdivisions appropriate the money to design and acquire the sites for and construct the remainder of the 800 megahertz system statewide. It contains the appropriations for operating the system and for debt service, and for and it contains the new bonding authority of $186 million to complete phases 3, 4, and 5. And they're projected to be completed by the year 2012. On page 11.31, we have a rider authorizing the Commissioner of Corrections to rent beds at the Rush City facility. We have this rider in every 2 years.
I'm sorry, what page are you on?
It'd be 11.31 through 12.12. I guess that brings us to Article 2, which is the this little policy that we have in this bill. And I'll go through that quickly. Article 2, Section 1 is a mentoring grant for children of incarcerated parents. It requires the grant recipient to collaborate with other organizations that deal with at-risk youth. Requires the grantee to ensure the safety of the children and to provide aftercare. This is funded under this is funded under the Department of Corrections. Section 2 provides that all gifts to the Department of Human Rights be deposited in a special account and appropriated to the Commissioner of Human Rights to help finance the operations of the department. This was the governor's recommendation. Section 3 authorizes the increase in 911 fees that we discussed earlier. They go up 10 cents a month on July 1st, 2008, another 10 cents on 2009, and another 10 cents on 2010. So it'll jump in 3 years from 65 cents to 95 cents per line. Section 4, along with the repealer at the end of the bill, provide that the ongoing costs of operating the public safety radio communication system is to be allocated by the Commissioner of Public Safety among the users of the system in accordance with the statewide radio plan. Currently, the costs, we've gone from the metro system to a statewide system, so now in statute, costs in the metropolitan area are allocated in accordance with the regional radio plans adopted by the Metropolitan Radio Board, which is no longer in existence. So this is more or less a technical amendment on allocation of funds. Section 5 is the result of a legislative task force make recommendations regarding the management of sex offenders. It expands the mandatory sex offender assessments by including the following crimes. I'd like to say this was both a bill that we heard in our committee and a governor's rec. The following crimes would require sex offender assessments. Minnesota statutes 609.294, bestiality, 609.322, subdivision 1, solicitation, inducement, and promotion of prostitution of persons under 18, section 609.324, other prostitution crimes involving a minor, 609.3453, criminal sexual predatory conduct, section 609.3455, dangerous sex offenders, section 609.352, solicitation of children, section 609.365, incest, section 617.246, use of minors in a sexual performance, and section 617.247, possession of child pornography. It's estimated that mandating sex assessments for these offenders will cost $75,000 a year, and that's funded under the Community Services and Corrections. Section 6 through 9 are the Senator Neville bill concerning theft thresholds. Section 6 increases the 10-year, 5-year felony, gross misdemeanor, and misdemeanor theft value thresholds. The 10-year felony threshold is doubled. Actually, they're all doubled, pretty much. 10-year felony goes from 2,500 to 5,000. 5-year from 500 to 1,000. 5-year with certain prior offenses from 250 to 500. 5-year felony involving grave robbing, pillaging, auto theft, theft from government agencies or court records from 250 to 500. Gross misdemeanors doubled from 250 to 500 unless the felony enhancement obtains, and the misdemeanors doubled from 250 to 500 or less. Section 7 increases the 5-year felony, gross misdemeanor, and misdemeanor value thresholds for issuing bad checks. Once again, it doubles them all. Section 8 increases the 5-year felony threshold for criminal damage to property in the first degree. And Section 9 increases the gross misdemeanor value threshold for criminal damage property in the third degree. Those are reflected in spreadsheets of $1.4 million savings in cost of corrections. Section 10 directs the Post Board to prepare learning objectives for pre-service and in-service training courses to instruct peace officers in issues relating to domestic abuse orders for protection and no contact orders. And Section 11 concerns a study. It directs the Criminal and Juvenile Justice Information Policy Group to study the issues involving the automatic sealing of arrest records. This was a Senator Moab bill, I believe. for persons who are not subsequently convicted of an offense related to the arrest. It requires a reporting date to the legislature of January 15, 2008. Section 12 establishes a collateral sanctions committee and directs it to study issues relating to how criminal convictions affect an individual's employment and professional licensing opportunities. It has a January 15, 2008 report date. And Section 13 is the repealer that I mentioned earlier, which is a technical repealer concerning how the operating costs of the public radio communication system are allocated. And that is Article 2.
Okay. Are there any preliminary questions from the committee on the language? Senator Ma?
Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, on the rider language for the squad car cameras and line 421 through 428, I know that the $500 one-time to the city of Minneapolis is for their upgrade because they obviously need it. But the language on 4.23 only talks about technology upgrades. Is that just purely for technology upgrades, or is that also for municipalities that don't have them here and they could use it for acquisition?
Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, Senator Moi, well, the way we have it written is just the upgrades, and we could have a discussion about whether we wanted to change that to cities who don't have the squad cars, squad car cameras. At this point, you know, the cameras came as a piece of our racial profiling bill probably the year before you arrived in the Senate, Senator Moi. And so I guess I had only been thinking about the upgrades. So if we, you know, at some point when we want to talk about whether we want to change that, we should have that conversation. It isn't a whole lot of money, but it we do have tails on it, so it's ongoing money.
Senator Ma?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, I just raised it as a question because I know that Minneapolis, I can't recall how many municipalities took that initial step, and if I seem to recall the people who came to testify, and a couple of them had wanted some of the technology upgrade, but some were also here for new equipment. And I didn't know if once Minneapolis had the $500,000, if the other $500,000 would get all absorbed by all the others who are looking for upgrade, or if at the end, after the other ones also get their upgrade, that there's going to be, you know, money left over for new acquisition. And so I didn't know if you want to be a little bit more flexible in that.
Mr. Chair, it's early in the afternoon. I'm willing to be flexible. The $1 million won't go very far. I mean, we can't get everybody's squad cars upgraded with that money. And so you might want to think about whether you want to upgrade first and then get new cameras later, or, you know, we should just maybe think about that.
Okay.
I'm easy so far.
Other questions? Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Higgins, $500,000 is for the city of Minneapolis. Then how does another jurisdiction or city apply for? Is this a grant or... they apply for this grant, the extra $500,000?
Mr. Chair, these this is through the Office of Justice, and they are our grant-making
entity
wing of DPS. And so, yeah, it would be a grant
Senator Higgins,
process.
Do they have to have a local match on that, or could they ask for a grant for 100% of the cost of the cameras?
Senator, or Mr. Chair, do you remember what the local units had to do?
I can't recall.
I don't either. I'm sorry.
We could stretch
at this point,
it,
we could...
We could stretch it further if we required a 50% or something like that local match.
Someone from the agency...
Is there anyone in the room who could clarify that? Oh, okay. Senate Counsel says right now there is no match requirement.
No, there's no match requirement now.
That's another possibility, to stretch the money. Senator Moore?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, I hate to beat a dead number here, but Senator Rose and I were just discussing that, you know, if the first million is maybe used up, but the tails is where you might want to build in the flexibility. I mean, I don't know. So if it was just a one time and it'll get used up, but if you don't build in the flexibility, will the tails, the tails may also be used up for technology upgrade too. I just didn't know. So I thought the flexibility would give you whatever they need for upgrade, but if they've done that already, then in the tails, if that's built into the base budget, then in the tails, you might need to have that flexibility. So if that's all right with you, I'd like to move that on line 1.23. After upgrade, we can insert acquisition.
Upgrades for acquisition?
For acquisition.
1.23 or 4.23?
4.23, sorry.
Okay. Could you state that again?
Yes. Mr. Chair, on line 4.23, after upgrades, insert or acquisition.
Okay. Senator Moore moves. Any discussion on that motion? Senator Higgins?
I'm sorry, were you asking me something?
Do you have a comment on that proposed
amendment?
That's fine. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion is adopted.
And, Mr. Chair, Mr. Turner knew the answer about the matches.
Mr. Turner?
Well, yeah. Mr. Chair, members, the Department of Public Safety reminded me that if the you had to participate in the study to get the camera, in the racial profiling study to get the camera technology. So that was more or less the match. You could call it an in-kind match, I suppose.
Except, Senator Higgins, now we've added the word acquire. And so there could be non-participants who are going to ask for the money to acquire one in the first instance. Should we make a match requirement for that? Senator Ma, what do you think? It was your amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'm open to whatever the committee would like to do with that.
Anyone else have a thought? Senator Foley?
Mr. Chairman, one of the concerns I have is that one of my cities, Brooklyn Park, bought this equipment with their own money, and now that equipment is running out, it's no longer valuable, and so I'm really troubled by the way this is going and not dealing with that group of people.
Would they? What exactly is an upgrade? Does that mean if your equipment has worn out, that they can get a new unit? Or do they take the unit and somehow add something to the existing unit?
Mr. Chair, they were VHS, and it's almost impossible to get enough tapes now. So what the proposal was to go to digital.
So they would be new cameras.
They would be new
so
cameras.
So would that cover Senator Foley's situation?
If Brooklyn
Most
Park
likely.
Wanted to upgrade to digital, if that's not what they have now, they could put in a grant to do that under this language.
Senator Ma?
Well, Mr. Chair, though, my understanding is that this grant, based on what Mr. Turner has said, would be restricted to only people who participated in that racial profiling. So I'm assuming that if that's Senator Higgins' intention, that then this would be kind of an open grant process, right, for both anybody who has it initially through the racial profiling effort, as well as those who bought their own cameras?
Senator Moore, I don't know if we have to clarify it, but my understanding is with your amendment, that would allow somebody to ask for a grant for a new acquisition, even if they hadn't participated in that racial profiling. I mean, is that the intent? Was that your intent when you offered
that? That was my intent, Mr. Chair.
Do we need to clarify that? Senator Council?
Mr. Chair and members, the actual rider language says to make squad car camera technology upgrades or acquisitions. So the actual rider is not limited to the racial profiling study or anything like that. So I think
the record reflects that intent, if that's good enough for now. Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Mr. Chair, if somebody could refresh me, people that were involved in that study, was that a grant or did the cities buy their own cameras straight out?
I even remember that one. I think several years ago, we as an incentive, any law enforcement agency that participated in the racial profiling study got cameras, wasn't that?
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
That was kind of the carrot for participating. Right.
So are we, Mr. Chair, are we still talking about maybe a match here then so we could get more cameras out throughout the state of Minnesota, not just...
Well, it almost sounds like the committee would favor that concept. Could we ask Senate Counsel maybe to suggest some language on that? Do you want to move? Somebody want to move that? And then Senate Counsel can read some language?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Higgins.
May I suggest that the match be for the acquisition and not for the
right.
upgrades?
Okay. Would you like to have Senate Counsel work on some language to do that?
Yes, please.
All right.
Why don't we go on to the next subject and
all right.
we'll come back
ready.
To this.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
He's got it.
Okay, he's ready.
He's good, isn't he?
He's fast.
Mr. Chair, you can consider on page 4, after line 25, insert, to be eligible for an acquisition grant, law enforcement agencies shall provide a, and you can designate the percent match, 50% or 25%, whatever you think is appropriate.
What is your wish, Senator Higgins, for
this
a local
wasn't my
match?
Idea. Let's make it pretty modest.
25%?
You think? I'm up for suggestions.
I'd suggest 25%.
25%?
I'd make that a motion.
All right. I'm not sure who's moving it anymore. I think Senator Higgins, it was Senator Higgins'
motion. The Higgins-Ingebrigtsen motion.
Okay. Does everybody understand the motion? It requires a local match of 25% just for acquisitions. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion is adopted. Senator Higgins, or any other members of the committee, other preliminary comments?
Mr. Chair,
one.
Do you want to take amendments at this point, or well, should we walk through them one time before we come back to amendments?
Yeah.
I have a question and then maybe an amendment to follow. On page 14, line 13, this is the funding for the short-term offenders to counties. I think you suggested that the money would be enough to get the per diem up to about $30 or $35, but we still have the $70 in the bill on line 13. Seems to me we should maybe lower that to something less than 70. I know it's a cap, but even with a cap, there could be some disparate distribution of that money then.
Mr. Chair, do you want to knock it down to 50 or 55? I don't think anybody will come even close to that, but
Do you think it's necessary that we should, would DOC like to comment on that, or does the committee? I mean, I think it would be appropriate to maybe knock it down to 45 or 50 as a cap if it only funds 30 or 35. Would DOC like to comment on that or not?
They're all passing the buck
okay.
back here.
They don't want to. Okay. I'm advised that this is the same language as last year,
right?
Which we didn't have enough money to fund, but with this language, are you still going to give the same rate to everybody?
Mr. Chair, my name is Ken Mers with the Department of Corrections, and yes, we would still distribute the money the same way proportionately, and it would be an equal amount. So that language was in the original rider language. Three, 4 years ago.
Mr. Mers, would it do any harm to make that to lower that to 50 since we only have enough to fund 35?
With this amount of money, there wouldn't be any problem with that.
Okay.
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Latz?
What would be the purpose of lowering it from 70 to any other number?
Just in case. Just in case one county suggests that their costs are higher than 35 and maybe they'll get 65. And some other county will get 35. I don't know.
Well, Mr.
Why keep it at, I guess the counter, the other half is why keep it at 70 if we're only going to be able to fund it at 35?
Well, Mr. Chairman, some counties might in fact have higher costs.
Precisely.
Than other counties.
That's,
it seems to me if they're being sent prisoners not really at their request, but at their responsibility to incur higher costs to house them. I think the Department of Public Safety might be appropriate to have, or Department of Corrections might be appropriate to have the flexibility to reimburse them for higher costs, fund levels being available or subject to availability.
Well, Senator Knotts, that's exactly the issue that I was inquiring about, is I wasn't sure how the money would be distributed. And I guess what we heard is that they try to keep it the same for everybody, and that would be enough to fund it at 35, more or less. And the question is, do we want to keep it, make sure that we keep it uniform, or at least not too far above the 35? Any other thoughts on that?
Mr. Chair, I guess
Senator Engelbertson?
Mr. Mears stated from the Department of Corrections that 70 would be just fine, so I don't see any reason why I would want to monkey with it.
All right.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Any other comments, questions from the committee? Senator Higgins, would you like to open it up for public comment or start working on amendments?
Let's look at the one time first, and that might answer some people's questions.
Okay.
Do you
want to
go through this?
Sure, I can do
it. Mr. Turner will walk through it for us.
Mr. Turner. This is the 496-1.
Correct. And you all should have a small little summary spreadsheet that corresponds to the bill. Your packet.
Okay, Mr. Chairman,
members, sections 1 and 2 of the bill are simply the summary by fund. This is all general fund money, and the definition of fiscal year for the purposes of the bill. Section 3 is the public safety appropriations. The total appropriation is $1.8 million the first year and $200,000 the second year. Of that, $8,976,000 goes to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension for the three following projects. You have the BCA CrimNet e-charging system, which is $1,600,000 a year. We have the replacement of live scan fingerprinting cameras at $5,400,000 the first year. Actually, it's 1.6 the first year for e-charging as well. These are almost all first-year appropriations. And then we have other CrimNet integration priorities. We don't specify. We only specify the e-charging and the live scan, and that is at $1,979,000. So the CrimNet appropriation in this bill is close to $9 million, $8,979,000.
Mr. Turner, what is... Refresh us on what integration priorities means. Not sure. Mr. Backus?
Mr. Chair and members, we just took that from the governor's bill. He actually lumped all of the CrimNet projects into one rider. So it would be basically whatever CrimNet projects they would choose to fund with that money.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Turner, you want to continue then?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members, then on line 2.23, we have some, the bill has some Office of Justice Programs initiatives. The first one is for $100,000 the first year for grants to local law enforcement agencies in rural counties or in counties other than metropolitan counties as defined by our, by Section 473. And that's Section 473.121 is definition of the 10-county metropolitan area. One-time appropriation to purchase defibrillators. Then line 2.31, we have the Integrated Domestic Violence Response Framework. $500,000 the first year for a grant to the City of St. Paul to implement this framework. Then it lists what the project must focus on, developing policies, procedures, quality assurance for domestic violence responses from 911 operators, law enforcement, prosecutors, probation, district court, victim advocates, social service providers, and other interveners. It's a one-time appropriation available to the end of the biennium, and it requires a February 1, 2010 report to the legislature on the results of the project. At line 3.33 is children at risk is a euphemism for all children excel, the All Children Excel program, $620,000 the first year. Line 4.8, $300,000 the first year for legal advocacy for trafficking victims. I think it's more than legal advocacy. I believe it's a nonprofit organization that provides free legal, medical, dental, mental health, shelter, vocational counseling services, and English classes. Page 4, line 23, $200,000 each year. This is the only one where we have a second year appropriation. This is for homeless outreach grants. Under Section 5, which is coming up, they'll be described later. 4.27, Hennepin County Violent Offender Task Force, $100,000 the first year for a grant to Hennepin County to form the Violent Offender Task Force. Section 4 is $1 million to the Department of Corrections for a demonstration project for high-risk adults, which is described in Section 6. And so that's all of the appropriations. Then Section 5 outlines the homeless outreach grants, who the recipients may be, the project design, requires an annual report, the first report being due January 15, 2010. Section 6 does the same thing for the demonstration project for high-risk adults. Defines high risk. It explains what the contractor must do at a minimum for the grants. The scope of the project, the individual eligibility of the project, more or less a definition of who high risk adults are. The payment, this is the project that we heard where the state would pay a monthly flat fee of $1,600 for each individual who is enrolled in the program. That would come to, I don't know what a year here. But there isn't that much money for this right now. But it's a start.
Okay. Mr. Chair, this was the program that wanted a five-year demonstration project and $15 million, and we couldn't do that in any way, shape, or form. But this is the organization that really wants the pay-for-performance kind of model, and we thought that was a good thing to start looking at. And it ends with an independent evaluation as well.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, we had a soft target of $12 million for one-time money, and that would be it.
Okay, thank you, Senator Hayden. So we've gone through the spreadsheet and the one-time money and the language. Any other questions from the committee preliminarily right now? Would you like to take comment, or do you want to go straight to amendments, or how would you like to handle it?
You know, Mr. Chair, I've never done this before, so I don't really know. What your advice would be good.
Well, I have to leave at 5. I'd say let's.
okay. How about
let's amendments?
Let's do amendments.
Let's take care of that.
Move to adjourn.
Do we have any amendments?
That's a higher motion.
I know.
We're drawn back.
I have some. If I can hand this over to Senator Lass.
Sure. Senator Neville.
I'd like to offer the A2 amendment.
Senator Neville offers the A2 amendment. So why don't you go ahead?
3A2, I guess it is.
3A2, why don't you go ahead and start describing your amendment while we're waiting for it to be distributed.
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, this is a rider language amendment that would direct the Sentencing Guidelines Commission to proposed changes to the sentencing guideline grid with respect to controlled substances. The report that we received from the Sentencing Guideline Commission in January suggests that they could review the proportionality of our drug sentences with respect to how they compare to other states and the federal government, and that there's at least a potential for saving considerable sums of money through the Department of Corrections. And this rider directs them to do it, but expects them to do it within their existing budget. But I'm expecting that if they come back with a report that we would see some significant savings on tails in future years.
Mr. Chair, I support this amendment.
Any further discussion on this?
Senator Neville, did you have something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not chairing anymore.
You know, it's fun to sit in this spot.
It's been a while.
Senator Foley?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, what are the costs of any of this?
Is there anyone from the Sentencing Guidelines Commission that might be able to tell us? Judge?
No, come up here.
You have to be on the microphone for the record, please.
Hello. Senator Foley, this is Isabel Gomez from I'm the director of the Sentencing Guidelines Commission. Chairman Lask, Senator Foley, I believe the question is, would the commission require additional funding in order to perform this task? Was that the question?
That's correct.
I would agree with the proponents of the bill that it could be done readily within our existing budget if we get the budget that this committee has recommended.
And Senator Foley, if
Senator Neville.
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting.
So we know who's speaking on the record.
Mr. Chair. and Senator Foley, if you look at the spreadsheet on line 160, we're giving the Sentencing Guideline Commission an extra $100,000 for line 159, I'm sorry, to maintain existing functions and to do some other studies. So we are giving them more than the governor's recommendation. And I think they can handle it within that.
Oh, Senator Foley, does that answer your question?
Yes, I'll quit while I'm ahead.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Neville, Senator Neville, is this going to redo? Mr. Chair? No, it's not Chair.
Senator.
Is this going to reduce sentences? It could in proportionality. It could.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, most likely yes.
Significantly, or what do you think on it?
Mr. Chair,
Senator Neville,
and Senator Ingebrigtsen, I don't know, but the amendment would direct them to make the sentences proportional to other offenses we have in Minnesota, and to compare controlled substance offenses from other Midwestern states and consider those in determining whether our sentences are proportional, and whether the length of the sentences are proper at their current amount of months or could be lowered. I would assume, though, that the result would be that our sentences would be lowered somewhat.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Yeah, if I could just make a comment, I just know that this, you know, this attitude is there with regards to drug offenses, and it's somewhat not bothersome, I guess, but nevertheless it's an issue that I've been involved in over the years, and one thinks just because they're in there with a drug offense means that they are just drug abusers, but actually, quite frankly, it takes an awful lot to get there, and chances are they're dealing to get there. So I'd just be cautious of that. That's all. Just a comment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Neville.
And Senator Ingebrigtsen, nothing will happen automatically. If this is adopted, they would do the study and have a report for next year, and we would have an opportunity to disagree.
Okay.
If we chose to, we could override them.
Thank you. It's clear now.
Senator Neville, was it your intent that proportionality be considered compared to the federal guidelines as well, because that's not specifically included.
Actually, I think that should be added. So perhaps we could put, if I could move on line 14, let's see, where would it be best to put it? Line 112 might be best. So after the word from, insert from the federal government and other states. So insert federal government and, or the federal government.
Senator Neville offers the amendment. Is that sufficiently clear to everyone? Any questions, discussion? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Amendment's adopted. Amendment to the amendment is adopted. Are there any other questions or further discussion about the proposed amendment 382?
Senator Lask, it's Isabel Gomez from the Guidelines Commission.
Judge Gomez.
I'd like to clarify the comment I made earlier in view of the reference to the $100,000 that was allocated for the commission to do the collateral consequences work, and make it clear that I would distinguish the collateral consequences study, because it requires gathering information and data from many sources that are not presently available to the Guidelines Commission. So the difference would be that in order to do a decent job on the collateral consequences assignment, we would require extra funding for that. But if we're talking simply about the drug policy, we would not require additional funding for the drug policy study.
Thank you. Judge Gomez, the only amendment before us right now is just a drug policy study, so your comments are clear for the record. That's all that we're considering adding right now without any additional funding available. Are there any further discussion on the amendment 382?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Senator Rosen?
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Neville, so this is just a proposal to look. Apparently you are assuming that we are higher in some of our sentencing guidelines than other states, I would assume. And my second question is, doesn't the National Alliance of Model State Drug Policy or some federal arm have that information of where the other states stand that can be...
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, I'm sure the Guideline Commission can get the information of what other states and the federal government do fairly quickly. But just by way of example, first-degree controlled substance offense is treated the same under the guidelines right now as a third-degree murder, a first-degree manslaughter, a kidnapping, or a second-degree criminal sexual conduct. They're all 86 months. Second-degree controlled substance is the same as a criminal vehicular homicide, a first-degree aggravated robbery, drive-by shooting. So the question is, are those all proportional? When you look at all of the presumed sentences that people get, I guess I would expect that when you look at other states and the federal government, that there's a good chance that they would come back and recommend shorter sentences for some of those drug offenses. They might drop them down a little bit and also put them in proportionality with some of our other violent offenses that get the same amount. And if the report comes back and it's not either substantively or politically acceptable, we can reject it.
Senator Rosen, a little follow-up on that perhaps. These are just guidelines,
right.
And ultimately a judge would have to take into consideration all the facts of the particular case and conviction before him or her in deciding what the appropriate sentence would be in a given case. And we are trying to put some more money in this bill into chemical dependency treatment services in the prisons. Hopefully, of the other parts of the state budget, that will do some more chemical dependency treatment efforts for people not presently in the prisons. And at its root, even though there's a lot of dealing that's going on at the root, a lot of it is driven by chemical dependency issues. And if we can get our arms around that, we won't have as much concern about this. Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Mr. Chair, if I may, just so we keep them long enough to get them off, that's what I want to do.
Right. Any further discussion? All in favor of Amendment 382 as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Amendment's adopted.
Now for another one, Mr. Chair.
Senator Neville has another amendment.
The 3A6 amendment.
It's being distributed. Why don't you go ahead and describe it?
It's probably in this pile from Mr. Backus.
Mr. Backus.
Okay, thank you.
3A6, please.
That time? 3A6. This one.
Senator Neville, why don't you start?
Mr. Chair, most of the members on this committee, with a couple exceptions, have heard this in the policy committee. This is, I'm proposing to add Senator Rosen's expungement bill with a $50,000 appropriation for coming out of the public. Okay, some haven't.
Senator Ortman.
Oh, I said Rosen. I meant Ortman. You're both named Julianne, so I, sorry about that. Senator Ortman's provision. And this provides that from public safety's budget, $50,000 each year would be related to the costs of implementing this expungement provision. I'm not sure how much detail the members would like me to go into. I kind of wish Senator Ortman was here. But basically what this bill is, as it had considerable hearing time in the policy committee, it provides a new statutory scheme for offenders to go to court pursuant to certain criteria and make a motion for the sealing of their records. So that would require some additional expense on the part of the BCA in public safety. It has it went through many amendments in terms of the policy. I think it's in pretty good shape right now, but Mr. Chair, I'm offering this because I think it's an important enough issue that it needs at least a placeholder in the bill so that it can, so that the issue can be debated further on in the conference committee. And recognizing that I don't have a fiscal note right now, I've only heard through the grapevine, but it does a lot, $50,000 a year, basically a little short of one FTE additional to be dedicated to the record keeping at the public safety.
Senator Neville, is the amendment that's drafted the shape that the bill was in when last heard by the Judiciary Committee?
Mr. Chair, it is.
And Senator Neville, was that, did it went, I know it was heard in Business, Industry, and Jobs where I heard it. Is this sort of like the last version of it after it's gone through all the committee process so far?
Mr. Chair, it is. This is, so I forgot it's been through two policy committees. And been approved in both of those.
So as for the at least the employment provisions that were considered in Business, Industry, and Jobs, it was approved and recommended to pass from that committee as well. Senator Rosen, you had a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Can somebody explain the difference between Section 11 on page 24 of the first bill and
Senator Rosen? Can you speak into your microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Somebody explain the differences on Section 11, sealing of the arrest records, and what we're doing here with this amendment, the A6 amendment. Apparently, the Section 11 is a study.
Mr. Chair, that was a Senator Ma's bill, so perhaps she could explain that, but my understanding is that's a study of broader collateral consequences in the sealing of arrest records. This deals with the sealing of records after you've been convicted, and the process by which you would petition to the court and prove to the court that you're entitled to have your criminal conviction records sealed, and then it would seal them at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, except for law enforcement agencies. And then there are a few other exceptions in here. For example, crim sex crimes are still accepted out of this.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I know that Senator Neville put just a placeholder in here, but if Mr. Backus or Mr. Turner could give us an idea of what it really could cost, and I know Ms. Marshall is here from the Supreme Court as well. We don't have a fiscal note yet, and if we put this in, the money's got to come out of things that are existing in our bill. So if somebody can give us some fiscal advice, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Turner?
Mr. Chairman, members, there is a preliminary fiscal note that the Department of Public Safety has finished their work on. The courts, I believe, finished their work today, but it hasn't been issued. But from my conversations with them, for the Department of Public Safety, this would cost over $1 million each year. I do not have the preliminary fiscal note. It's down in my office. I'm sorry I didn't bring it with today. And for the courts, it would require, at a minimum, of three judge units, which would come to $1.4 million each year. So we're looking at right there at $2.4 million
a year.
Mr. Chair, that's a problem.
Senator Neville, what what programs do you wish to eliminate in order to fund this?
$5 million would you like?
Well, I wish Senator Ortman were here because I know that she's had some discussions with public safety. And I do think that that fiscal note is unreasonably high. The courts, I'm not in a position. I would just note that for my child support bill a couple years ago, they wanted 13 new judges, and they got none. And I think we'll be able to absorb that just fine. So I'm not, and Senator Foley, I know you got the court budget, but and I don't know how this bill is ultimately going to merge with Senator Foley's bill, but
I don't have that kind of money either.
I know you don't. What I would argue as far as the court expenses is that judges are dealing with a lot of these motions for expungement under inherent authority already. And so there would be a marginal increase, I expect, but I don't know that it would be substantial enough that we at this point have to worry about three new judge units.
Senator Neville, I think I'd have to agree that there probably would be an initial bump, a surge, if you will, of applications for expungement. But once that gets taken care of through the system, I can't imagine that it would be an ongoing burden that would require any additional judges. Senator Moore?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, you know, the expungement issue as well as the sealing of criminal records and the collateral sanctions are issues that are, I think, bipartisanly pretty important to the Senate. And I think that's why in the Judiciary Policy Committee, even given our time constraint, we dedicated a pretty substantial amount of time to look at this policy bill, as well as to look at and move in the direction of the study language. And I think that if we do have financial constraints this year, given what kind of targets we have, I'm not too terribly concerned that this is something that is going to die, because this is something that's too important to too many people. And I think if we, I don't know what's going to happen with this bill this year, but my sense is that ideally I would like for us to be able to take the time to get the study report back from the sealing of criminal records, because ultimately that task force group is really an implementation task force. I mean, their task is to go out there and look at the systemic changes that we need to do in order to even implement some of what we want to do. And we might get a clearer picture of what some of the barriers might be. So I guess my inclination right now is that I feel very, very good about the very thoughtful work that has gone into this bill. I would like this information to be available for the different stakeholders to take a look at it and give us their feedback, improve upon it, think through some of the implementation barriers there might be, and help us make it better, give us good ideas. And I'd like to continue to work on this issue, particularly if the preliminary fiscal note is so high. So I've made a commitment to making this an issue in the policy division. I hope that once we get it to a point where we have some really good numbers and good policy rationale and have had the stakeholders at the table, that in a different fiscal year, we might be able to persuade Senator Higgins and Senator Foley to help make this a priority for the Senate.
Senator Moore, the provision in the existing proposed omnibus bill
dealing with the study on automatic sealing arrest records does not appear to address, as I'm just kind of scanning it, does not appear to address situations where there are convictions. It looks like it's only arrests or situations where a person was acquitted or there's some resolution short of a conviction. And it seems to me that the expungement provision, Senator Neville, I probably looked at this more closely than I have, does include convictions of a whole different kind of variety. So I'm not certain it'll be included in the study that you're looking at. And I wonder if there's anyone who can give us an idea how to include this policy provision in this bill without having the kind of budgetary consequences that we're concerned about in this fiscal package.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that when we were under some constraints in the study group because we were trying to get some policy parameters in place, and the reference was just to one Senate file that we were trying to get at. I'm not opposed to including conviction information and conviction in there, but what's more important is that I think the exercise of looking at the sealing of the records and the steps that you need to go through to look at, you know, the different agencies, the different layers you have to look at in order to seal these different records will be very instructional in terms of the type of machinery, technology, mechanism we would have to put in place in order to systemically implement something like sealing arrest records or sealing conviction records through the expungement process. And so in a way, yes, it's not explicit in there, but I think it would be extremely instructional. Now, I'm not opposed to asking if the CRIMNET group will be willing to add that as a component, but I think that that's something that we ought to – I mean, I'd be willing to sit down and have a conversation with them about that if we want to add that somehow as one of the components in that study. But we were trying to just get the policy parameters that were under my original bill into that study without straying – I mean, in fairness to them, without straying too far. So – if it's of interest to this group, I'd be more than glad to have that conversation to see if it was doable to include that into the study.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if we could recognize Senator Ortman.
Senator Ortman has joined us.
Make a few comments.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to make a comment regarding your expungement bill, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And I'm sorry I missed Senator Mwah's comments. I think that there are many people, advocates at the Capitol, that are trying very hard to deal with this expungement issue. It's a complicated question, and it takes quite a bit of education to bring people up to speed about what it is we're talking about. We've had months of discussion about it. Senate File 294 was the work of the Judiciary Committee and its collective wisdom. It's certainly not my bill anymore. It's got the heart of Senator Higgins in it and the strength of Senator Scheid. The wisdom of Senator Foley and the work of Senator Neville and his craftsmanship and the leadership of Senator Mwah is not my bill. It's a bill that came out of that Judiciary Committee. It passed along to the Regulated Industries and Business Jobs Committee, where, again, it was given a hearing. There was compelling testimony, members, in support of making some change to our expungement laws. We have expungement now in Minnesota. I think it's a misperception that this is new authority. What it does is it creates a comprehensive approach that would address some concerns with the way we deal with expungements now. I'll be very brief. I don't know how much this committee has gotten into this subject matter, but there are two ways to get an expungement currently under Minnesota law.
Senator Ortman, if I might interrupt, I think most of us have heard the bill either on judiciary or business, industry, and jobs, and so unless Senator Ingebrigtsen
I would appreciate that. Just a real quick.
Okay. The big hang up here seems to be the financing of it in connection with
point.
Our limit. So if you.
I will get to that point. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the indulgence of the committee on this. There are two ways to get an expungement under Minnesota law. Currently, one is under statutory authority. It's very restrictive. It's for juveniles that were charged as adults. It's under diversion programs for drug offenders, first time drug offenses. And I'm trying to remember the last way, but it's very limited statutory authority for expungements. The BCA now is authorized and required to seal records when the judges issue orders under that authority, and I believe that they're doing that. frustration has come in, and some complexity has arisen because the judges often are granting expungements outside of that authority. There is no clear statutory mandate. There are no statutory factors that they're considering, and they are going to what they consider to be their inherent authority, or they believe that they have the authority to grant an expungement just by virtue of their being judges under common law. And when they do that, they have been granting these orders. The BCA, in turn, has not been sealing the records because they don't believe they have the statutory mandate to seal the records. So there's complexity here. There's a lawsuit pending. It's in the Court of Appeals right now about whether the BCA must seal those records. But the whole topic is screaming for, demanding for some clarity in what we do when an expungement order is granted and under what circumstances can a judge grant these orders. And so my bill is an attempt to deal with that, to set out the factors that the legislature would want to be considered in an expungement, and then mandating that once the order is actually granted, that the BCA and other agencies follow the order and seal the records. So it's actually a law and order amendment. It's intended to support our judiciary. The worst thing that could happen in our courts is for our courts to issue orders and for no one to follow them, and that's what's been happening. It's devastating. So that's a quick summary of the bill. I mean, the purpose of the bill. What I would ask for you all to do today is to put a placeholder in the omnibus public safety bill, the finance bill. There's been quite a bit of discussion about what the costs will be for addressing the expungement complications that we currently have between the BCA and the courts and the Attorney General's office. I have not seen an authoritative fiscal note. I did see a preliminary note from the BCA, and there were a lot of questions that came out of the preliminary note, so much so that they went back to work, back to the drawing board to see whether it shouldn't be reassessed. And so I think there's a big question mark about how much the cost would be. But I don't want to lose the momentum, honestly. We've worked very hard at advancing this issue. The public is now very much aware of it. I'm receiving emails and phone calls all the time in support of this effort. It may not be the final outcome, but I would hope that this committee would put a placeholder in its bill so that we can continue the discussion, figure out what those fiscal notes say, to see if there's some agreement on the part of the legislature about how we can start addressing this critical problem in our courts and in our agencies.
Senator Ortman, thank you for your comments. I have a question for staff. I guess it's to follow up what Senator Higgins said at one point, which is if this is in the bill, even with a placeholder of $50,000, and if the fiscal note comes back at $3 million total, is that automatically going to disrupt the bill, or is there an opportunity at that point to say, well, we're not going to do that, and we're just going to have to delete these policy provisions from the bill at that time?
Mr. Chair, who's chair now?
Oh.
Okay.
Alex.
Mr. Chair, the first thing that would happen is my bill, but this committee bill would have to go to Senator Foley's division because it's got this provision in it, and it's got a fiscal impact for the courts. I don't know of very many times when we send one person, one division's bill to another division, but that would be the effect of what we'd have to do. And I think before our bill goes out of here, well, you know, the other issue is we've got a placeholder of $50,000, but we've been told that it's more, you know, the fiscal note may come in as high as $5 million. And I think that if we have to find a place for $5 million in this bill, or some number way larger than $50,000 anyway, it ought to be this division that does it and not somebody farther down the line. I'm a co-author of Senator Ortman's bill. I had high hopes for it. It's not moving in the House. It's all tangled up there. And I hope that we can keep working on this, but I'm not sure that this division's bill is the place we should put it. It's not without controversy, and most of us in this division have heard that controversy in one committee or another. I think we have a lot of really good work in our division bill, and I would hate to have it get, have your bill and I guess I'm kind of two minds, because
because I do support the policy that's in here, but I'm hung up on the money. So,
Senator Higgins, let me suggest. I agree with you on the policy merits.
Yeah.
I would like to see this pass, and the trick, of course, is finding the money. And right now, it's just not in this bill. Senator Mua has informed me that the department, the policy group, has indicated that they do intend to study this very question as part of their broader study that they're doing. And maybe someone from the department could.
Yeah, Mr.
Testify.
Chair, my name is Dana Goetz, and I'm from the CrimNet office with BCA. And I just wanted to let the committee know that the policy group does plan to continue to study the implementation and fiscal costs associated not only with the automatic ceiling, but the convictions of expungements. And, you know, we're happy to work with both Senator Moi and Senator Ortman on their bills and their language.
I'm going to ask what the amendment's author wishes to do at this time, given the chair's comments.
Well, Mr. Chair, I better withdraw the amendment. I sense that it's not likely going to pass, and I was hoping we could keep a placeholder and keep it alive, at least to conference committee and have the debate there. But I do recognize that there's a fiscal cost to it. There is no question that there's some. So I'll withdraw the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, are we ready with our oral amendment?
Are there any? Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, remember we talked about the fire safety account, page 4, at the top of page 4, and how the governor's supplemental budget had put more funds in there. And I think Mr. Turner's ready with an oral amendment to bring that up to date.
Mr. Turner?
Mr. Chairman, members, page 4, line 4, after of this amount, comma, insert $3,330,000 the first year and $6,300,000 the second year are for activities under Minnesota Statutes 299F.012, which is the fire safety account and the Fire Safety Council's authorization to disperse those funds. Oh, and I would like to add, we will change the corresponding agency and bill totals as it rolls up through the bill. It will change the total for special revenue and public safety on line 2.24, and it will change the total for special revenue for the bill on line 1.19.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was distracted. Does everybody else know where we are? Where we're at?
Top of page 4.
Okay. Page 4 on
the big bill. This is updating the amounts from the governor's supplemental budget. And,
Could you repeat the numbers, please, Mr. Turner?
Sure. Page 4, line 4 would read, of this amount, comma, okay, you'd strike $4,500,000, and you would insert $3,330,000 the first year and $6,300,000 the second year. Strike is and insert are.
Okay. Everybody understand that? Senator Higgins moves that amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. That motion is adopted. Are there any other amendments?
That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Actually, I have one more, too. I'm one for two.
Senator Neville.
This is the 3A1 amendment.
Senator Neville.
As this is being passed out, this is an amendment requested by the County Association, and it deals with the short-term offender issue again. What this would do is direct the Commissioner of Corrections and a designee from the Sheriff's Association to co-chair an advisory task force to basically come up with a longer-term solution to the short-term offender problem that we're facing right now. And perhaps is there somebody from the counties who could perhaps I could ask to come up and just make a very short comment on this amendment?
Mr. Tuma?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson. This is a provision that actually is in Senator Olsen's bill, and it requires at least the Department of Corrections and the sheriffs and the counties to explore other alternatives to the short-term offender situation for future consideration by the legislature, looking at the per diem costs and also to look at possible regional jail facilities to house these people in. Again, we appreciate the effort that Senator Higgins did to get it up to $33 a day. Again, just to remind you that these were never our offenders. They were state offenders. They were put under your property tax rolls 4 years ago, and so they cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $55 a day for rental of beds to our neighbors. And if you look at just the regular costs, even like Hennepin County, you're talking almost $100 a day to house short-term offenders or per diem. So we're going to look at this and work with the Department of Corrections. We hope that maybe we can resolve this before the end of session, and we're certainly continuing to talk with the Department of Corrections, and we appreciate their efforts to work with us trying to find a solution to this budget-saving effort that was enacted 4 years ago.
Senator Moore?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Tuma, has this task force language been through the state and local government operations and oversight committee?
Mr. Chair and Senator Moore, no, it has not. Mm-hmm. This is the language that passed out of the House committees and now is sitting in their committee waiting for possible inclusion in their omnibus bill.
Senator Moore?
Mr. Chair and members, I understand, though, that the state and local government operations oversight committee has some pretty strict guidelines, because Senator Ress wants to bring all these different task forces into line with best practices and requirements that she's developed. And so if this hasn't, I was hoping that this would be a bill that had already passed through that committee and this task force had already been vetted with them. So I don't know if she'll ask for your bill, Senator Higgins, if this goes in there, but you might want to think about that.
Mr. Chair, if we call Senator it something Higgins. Other than a task force, can we get away with it?
Working group.
A study group, advisory, rump group or something, I don't know.
Senator Higgins, there is a provision in here, at least on lines 1.27 and 0.28, that subject the task force to Minnesota Statute Section 15.059, which I'm just guessing governs task forces in some way. Maybe council could advise us on that.
Assume it's the per diem.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, that's correct. That's the provision that deals with terms of members and per diems and things like that.
So, Mr. Chair, does this have a fiscal cost then that we have to carry in our bill? Some number of per diem dollars?
Senator Higgins, Mr. Turner, I'm seeing he's nodding his head yes. I would expect there's some
Mr. Chair.
Per diem. It's got to come from somewhere. Mr. Backus?
If you look at the amendment on page 1, lines 33 to 36, it deals with providing technical and support services and then using funds from their current operating budget to cover costs.
Of the commissioner?
I'm sorry?
Of the commissioner,
yes. Yes, it would be the Department of Corrections would essentially fund it through that.
Including.
Okay, what about including per diems?
Yes.
For the task force members?
That would come out of corrections, I would assume.
Doesn't seem to.
And Mr. Chair, we're not, I mean, as far as the per diem, that can be deleted as far as we're concerned. We just want to meet with the commissioner and work these things out in the next 2 years, if it's not fully funded or resolved by the end of this session.
I think the way it's written, you need to, because lines 33 to 36 say their operating budget will cover any costs the commissioner incurs in providing services to the task force. But it doesn't seem to cover any per diems that would be paid to members of the task force for their own services.
Mr. Chair, maybe I could ask
Senator Neville,
Mr. Backus, Is that problem the per diem issue eliminated if we repeal that last sentence that has 15.059 on it?
Mr. Chair and Senator Neville, I think if you wanted to, I was just going to go look at that statute. It's not something we cite that statute quite a bit, but it's not within our jurisdiction, that statute. But I think you might want to say that these commission members, these task force members, are not eligible for a per diem, and that would certainly solve it.
So, Mr. Backus, on line 1.25, after the word compensation, if we inserted or per diem, and then deleted the rest of that line. And the rest of that sentence on line 1.26, and perhaps the rest of that paragraph, would that be the way to do it?
Mr. Chair and members, well, that would certainly say that they cannot receive compensation or per diems, and if you deleted everything else, they wouldn't get any expense reimbursement. That's correct.
That be the desire of the amendment's author?
Yes.
Senator Neville moves.
Keep this as low cost as I can to the department.
Senator Neville moves to make the amendment that I just described. Is there any discussion? Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Toomer, you'd understand when we're talking about short-term offenders that the $33 coming back from the state of Minnesota now, or right in that area, we haven't decided where that's going to be, that also still includes the state taking over or assuming the liability for that patient. I mean, that's still a given.
Yeah, my understanding, reading the rider language in Senator Higgins' bill, she still covers that agreement we worked out 4 years ago when we were forced to take these offenders. So the state will continue to pay for their patient medical care. So when they go to a hospital, they pay.
I know there was some talk about that. I just want to make sure it's clear here today. Thanks.
Let's return briefly to Senator Neville's oral amendment to amend line 1.25 by inserting after compensation or per diem period, deleting but may receive, and deleting lines 26, 27, and 28. Any further discussion on that oral amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Okay, motion carries. Mm-hmm. There still remains the question of whether this would need to go or would cause the bill to somehow have to go to Senator Rest's committee. Senator Higgins, maybe you can think about that, but I also have a question for the author's the amendment's author. Line 1.9 and 1.10 include in the study the option, at least for their consideration, of opening a private regional jail structure or doing a joint private and public partnership with a regional jail structure. That opens up a whole other possibility of questions relating to workforce issues and labor issues. So I wonder if there's any feedback from the amendment's author on that.
Mr. Chair, I think it would be best to leave that in because they are only going to consider it. This is they're directed to come back with a report in February 2009. Actually, a couple of years ago, the Department of Corrections actually had a bill to do just this, but it never was pursued. There is the possibility, for example, though, that certain private entities can operate these short-term facilities at a significant cost savings, and at the very least, if we are to create a task force, they should be allowed to at least consider that, review it. I don't see any harm in having that considered. Obviously, nothing can happen until it's acted upon by the legislature.
Senator Neville, I for one have difficulty even with the concept of private jails, let alone to me, that's a quintessential government service. And I'd have difficulty supporting the amendment with that provision in it. But maybe we should resolve the question of what this does to the committee bill if this gets added. Senator Higgins, any thoughts on whether this is going to have to go to Senator Rest's committee if it has a task force in there?
Mr. Chair, I understand that if Senator Rest wants to pull it into her committee, that's where I'll end up. And then that lays, in theory,
this would be the piece before her, but as we all know, a committee can wander through any other piece of the bill. I'm wondering whether, since everybody knows it's a problem, and since we know we have to study it, whether we can just ask people to tackle this issue in the interim without putting it in the bill. And I think there is the will to see if there is a solution to this problem. One of the solutions that is supposed to be suggested is one that I know I don't like, but, who knows, there might be something that they could come up with that would be, not even thought about yet. And if we can get some good minds together to start thinking about how we do address this and have them come back and talk to us, maybe we can do it without putting the language in the bill. We have very little policy in this bill, and we've really tried to keep as much of it as possible out. But I recognize that we really do need to ask people to think long and hard about what we do with the short-term offenders.
So Senator Higgins is making a special request to the counties and all the other entities included in this proposed amendment to get together informally on their own in the next year and come up with some ideas as to how we might address this problem in the long term. Is that correct, Senator Higgins?
That would be my request, Mr. Chair, and we'll be in their gratitude if they can come up with some really good solutions for us.
Well, Mr.
Senator
Chair,
Neville?
Here's what I'll suggest. I'll withdraw the amendment, and I'll talk to Senator Rest. I'm on full finance committee, and if she doesn't have an issue with it, I'll offer it again then.
There you go.
Okay, so I'll withdraw the bill.
Amendment's withdrawn. Any other amendments? Senator Neville?
No more for me.
Others? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to comment on the bill? Going once, going twice. I don't see any hands or anyone rising. Senator?
Talk about my bills?
They all love it, Senator Higgins.
Okay, then, Mr. Chair.
Senator
I'll make everybody's
Higgins.
Afternoon go quite well. I'll move the spreadsheet to start with. Do I have to move? Can I move them together? I will move the one-time spreadsheet and the big spreadsheet. Be recommended as our position for our omnibus bill. All right.
Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Senator Higgins.
Okay, then, Mr. Chair, I'll move that SC 5493-3 as amended. Be made into a committee bill that will eventually become our omnibus bill. Senate Council, can you tell me what the motion should be?
Recommended.
You all know what I'm trying to move anyway.
Mr. Chair, yes, that's the idea that this bill will be then introduced as a committee bill and referred to the full Finance Committee.
Okay.
Senator Higgins makes that motion. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
And then, Mr. Chair, the one-time bill, SC 5496-1, be recommended to be our one-time appropriation bill that goes forward to finance as well.
Mr. Backus, is the same language regarding that this be made into a committee bill?
Actually, for this bill, this would be the recommendations of the division and passed on to the full Finance Committee. This will not be introduced as its own bill. Okay. Senator Cohen will consider this document in putting his bill together.
Okay. Any Senator Higgins makes that motion. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Higgins, anything further?
We're done.
No further business to come before the committee. We are adjourned.
Thank you all very much.
That's a great committee.